grateful for your movement. We're grateful that you've invited us into this place. We know that you are building a multiplying movement all around this globe. We are part of just a mosaic family. This morning we stand here and we remember that we have brothers and sisters, not just in other churches in the city, not just in other churches across the state, across the United States, but we have brothers and sisters, family members in this beautiful mosaic multiplying movement who are worshiping this morning. Some in cathedrals, far many more are gathering in apartments, are gathering under the roofs of sheds to keep the water out, who are gathering in garages. Some have the shades pulled up to let the sun in. Some have the shades pulled all the way down for fear. We're a mosaic family, worshiping in different languages and in different cultures, but also in different circumstances. We pray that across this globe, that you would enable all of us to stand. Some of us stand in some really difficult circumstances. I pray that you give us strength to stand. Some of us are in this room this morning and we have some pretty heavy loads that we're carrying. And we want to lean into you, Jesus. And I pray over the course of these next few moments that we have together, that not only would you enlighten us, you would draw us close to you, and that we would be changed. In Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome this morning to Discovery Community Church. We are glad that you're here. You're here on a pretty fantastic week. In fact, a pretty cool month. This is our missions month, as you already walked through our hallway on the way in. You've already seen lots of different displays. They're there not just to entertain or impress you, but it's really this whole month of missions is an opportunity for you to entertain a question or a dream that perhaps you have not entertained for a long time. In fact, in your worship folder, when you came in, you got a worship folder. It looks a little bit like this. Inside it, you're going to find some different tools. They're all just tools to help you this morning. But one's a card, and you're going to see it over the next few weeks. And it's prompting you to entertain a notion or idea that maybe you have not entertained for a long time. And that's the notion of where will you go? The idea that maybe God is not done with you, that God is still wanting to use you in some capacity in this multiplying mission, this mosaic family that he's building around the globe. And so my hope is not that you just have some kind of like, oh, that's neat that Discovery Church kind of does this or that, and that's kind of cool. My hope is that over the course of the next few weeks, you would be inspired. I hope you're okay. All right, thank you. So my hope is that you'd be inspired to wrestle with a question that maybe has been dormant in your life for a while. Today, we are standing with the persecuted church. We're standing with our brothers and sisters that are worshiping in all around the globe in different environments and different places. And, you know, this is a fantastic mosaic family. Some people this morning are worshiping in cathedrals, fashioned with artistry and, you know, just incredible gifted hands. And there's beautiful stained glass, and some are worshiping in some fantastic modern auditoriums with smoke and laser lights. And some of us are worshiping in apartments. Some of us are worshiping in tents. Some of us are gathered in little caves or big caves and are worshiping in secret all around the world. It's a fantastic and incredible mosaic family that God's building. What I'd like for you to do this morning is like for you to hear from one of our partners. It's a couple, John and Prissy. And they're not able to be here, so we Skyped them in, okay? And so we recorded it, and so the audio may, you may have to struggle a little bit, but it's a Skype call. And so I want you to hear from them a little bit of what God's doing and what has God been doing in them. So if you'd bring your attention to the screen.
Hi, Discovery. My name is John Stodchill, and this is my wife, Prissy. For those of you who don't know us, we're working in an Islamic country in the Indian Ocean, and we're Skyping in here. We wish we could have been there in the States. We're not able to be, but we really appreciate y'all's prayers and support for us in this time. For those of you who don't know, I've been in this country for the last 8 years, serving the Lord, doing a lot of outreach, because in our context, there's only 14 known believers on our island. There are others, we could say maybe even dozens, who have professed faith at different times, but we don't see any fruit in their lives. We did research on a lot of movements where there's peoples that had previously not known Jesus, and then all of a sudden there's like a movement, almost like a great awakening inside of their people group for Christ. And in almost every one of those contexts, there was already a substantial amount of scripture, maybe not the whole Bible, but a substantial portion of scripture in the local language. And we don't have that in this language. And so we have, for the last 5 years, been working to translate scripture into their local language, as well as putting the films, such as Jesus Film, which we have, but then God's Story, which all partnered with us in being able to do, to make available gospel presentations in their language. And this also helps them, which goes to the next thing, is that for the few believers that do exist, because there is government persecution, the threat of it anyway, some of them have been put in prison for their faith. There's almost certain that their family is going to reject them, or that they might be beaten or kicked out of their village or something like that for being a believer, is that a lot of them suffer from fear, and when they can't access scripture to encourage them, and they can't feed themselves, you often find a lot of isolated, fearful believers. And so one of the things we're doing is trying to take these believers that are spread out across different villages and helping them get together and to be giving them scripture so that they can be feeding themselves with the word of God, as well as knowing, having that community with one another. And so those are some of the things that we're doing and hoping to see an awakening happen in these people as well. And I was really encouraged, and I just wanted to share this with everyone at Discovery as well, is that in this country, they face the real possibility that if they were to share the faith with other people, that it could cause the government to realize that they're a believer, and it could cause them to go to prison and to potentially lose their jobs or anything else like that. And so for them, a lot of them are in fear. And so this believer from the other island comes and he asks some of the people that we've been discipling, and he says, hey, you know, we really struggle with fear on our island. How are y'all with that? And hearing one of the believers who's really close to our heart, he said, you know, the other day we read the story of Paul and Silas. And in the story of Paul and Silas, they're beaten and put in prison. And when they're in prison, they're not sore and sad or upset or worried, but they're singing praises to God. And they're singing the praises, and an earthquake comes and breaks open the doors. And he said, you know, I used to be afraid. I used to be afraid of what would happen. But when I read that story, it just hit me that they can beat me, they can put me in prison, but what does that do? I'm going to heaven, I know the Lord, and they can't change the truth that's inside of me. And so there's nothing that they can do. And so I think just seeing that kind of faith, when you realize what is on the line, and saying, why is it that they're willing to put it out there? It's because they know that there are other people who don't know Jesus. There are other people that if they die, they would go to hell. And they recognize that they are part of God's kingdom work of bringing his kingdom on earth. And no matter what the cost, they want to be a part of that.
I think we have to have the same prayer, both for you all up there, as well as for the believers here. It's really to reach more people with the gospel. We pray that, as we see people around us who do not know Christ yet, who have not heard about Christ yet, and we might be their only opportunity to hear about Christ. And our prayer really, not only for the islanders here who have already came to faith, that they may really approach their families, their neighbors, their friends, and share Christ, but also to you, people at Discovery, we pray for you that you may also really seize these opportunities to share Christ to your friends, your neighbors, your families, and that many more may come to know Christ, come to faith, and share heaven with us.
Yeah, I would add just one more thing there too, is just as Prissy said, we're praying that these believers would be disciple makers. It's the same prayer we pray for Discovery. And I know that in Washington State, I think I heard it's 7% Christian. And so it's a very unreached area as well for the gospel to go out. But I also, in my heart, I would love to see another generation of people coming from Discovery who will go to other countries and other places.
Isn't that good? Oh, you're going to do a round of applause. They can't hear it, but maybe they can feel it. So John and Prissy are on the front lines of sharing the gospel in the other part of the world. I think that I want to recognize this morning that when we talk about the persecuted church, and when we hear from partners like John and Prissy who are serving in environments where you can't even say the name, for a lot of us, it seems a little hard to grasp. You know, for most of us, when we talk about the persecuted church, or we're talking about people like John and Prissy who are going to places where we can't even publish the island that they're at, it seems a little fantastical. It seems a little bit, you know, fake news-ish. Because for goodness sakes, it's 2019. And in 2019, there certainly has got to be an easier way. Now, I don't mean that we as good Americans don't believe in human rights and that there are not people all over the globe that should have the right to think and choose and believe and worship. I mean, it's sort of the foundation of our culture, that we believe that people are born with certain rights that they have. And I know we get that, but there should be an easier way, right? I don't even mean that we don't believe that people should not have an opportunity to live eternally, but it just, there should be an easier way. It's 2019 after all, and aren't we good at finding easier ways? I mean, we live in America. That's all we do. Right? Aren't we so good at finding the easy? I mean, we love easy. Amen? Anybody? Hey, we love easy. This week, I went on to Amazon, and I just typed in easy. And do you know, we have easy off, and we have easy on. We have easy up, and we have easy score. We have easy open, and easy pour, easy stack, easy grab, easy cleanup, easy store, easy find, easy steam, easy ring. You guys remember easy bake? You can buy an easy button, right? You can buy easy Mac, if Mac wasn't easy already. I mean, we in America, we love easy. Amen? We crave easy. We want easy. We need easy. I mean, we need it so bad that this week I got a new tool, and in the new tool I got an instruction book, and the instruction book was super thick, right? So when I pull out the instruction book, I tossed it to the side, and I looked through the packaging for the easy manual. I don't want to read the whole thing. I want the 2-page easy startup, right? We need easy. If easy doesn't show up, we begin to complain. If you're at a restaurant and your food doesn't show up quickly and easily, you're going to complain to someone, right? We depend on, we need, we crave easy. We want the easy procedure. We want the easy route, the easy path. We want the easy relationship. Don't say amen. We want the easy way forward. The truth is we have come to deeply, I hope you hear me, we have come in America to deeply expect easy. So much so that when things are not easy, we begin to question if God's still in it. I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room in the last week, month, maybe even year, has had a few moments where you were in your car or in your living room and you were crying out to God and saying, God, where are you? God, why did you leave me? But what preceded that prayer, what preceded that moment was easy had left. What preceded that moment where you began to wonder if you had made a grave mistake, if you have stepped outside of the will of God, wasn't anything other than things simply getting difficult. You see, we have come to the place in America where we have needed easy so much that when easy leaves, we are convinced that God leaves. Today, I want to challenge you to ask a question of yourself. And that is there something more important than easy? Is there something more important in the world? Is there something more important in your life, in mine? Is there something more important than easy? We have been walking through Mark chapter 13. And as I introduced Mark 13 last week, I shared with you how Jesus was walking out of the temple. And as he was walking out, his disciples looked and they observed this fantastic temple that they've been building for 46 years. And they said, Jesus, isn't this place magnificent and wonderful? And Jesus turns and says, you see these stones? Not one of them will be on top of another. Jesus leads his disciples out of the temple, through the streets of Jerusalem, outside of the city, up to the Mount of Olives. And as he sits on the Mount of Olives so he could see the temple, a couple of his disciples run up and say, listen, you've been saying this stuff for some time. Help us understand what are the signs of these things. You see, what Jesus has been saying for some time is that he was going to tear down the temple and he was going to build a brand new one without hands. This moment in the temple wasn't Jesus just being negative. He was talking about God initiating and beginning a brand new work, a movement of God. And so as Jesus begins to explain to the disciples this movement of God, he says these words. And again, remember, movement of God. Remember, God is doing something amazing. He is actively moving in the world. And this is what God says for us to do while he's actively moving. You must be on your guard, verse 9. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. And whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say. Just say whatever is given you at that time for. It is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and even have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will absolutely be saved. As Jesus sits on the Mount of Olives, he looks at that temple. I think he actually looks beyond the temple. And I believe he's looking at the movement and work of God. And he says, guys, I want you to recognize something. And the greatest movement of God, as God is moving his hand throughout the entire world, easy will occasionally show up. But most of the time, easy will leave. And it doesn't mean that God has stopped moving in you, through you, and in the world. Catch this. He says, when God's moving, you are going to be handed over to local councils and flogged. When God's doing good stuff, you're going to be arrested and dragged before leaders and governors and kings. When God's still moving and the gospel's still being preached, you are going to be arrested. You are going to stand in places and wonder what to say. You're going to stand in places and wonder if God's even there. You won't even have a word. But in those moments, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. He is present and he is here. You see, Jesus says, don't look for the easy. Endure. Endure. All around the globe this morning, Jesus' people are worshiping. As I said before, some of them in fantastic cathedrals, some of them with laser light shows, and some of them are worshiping the most difficult circumstances you and I can imagine, and they are enduring. Some of them are worshiping with the shades drawn, and they're worshiping under oppressive systems, and they're worshiping under abusive governments, and they are enduring. And I want you to know this is an absolute fact. As they are worshiping in those difficult places and difficult times, they actually at this moment are praying for you. Isn't that remarkable? As they're worshiping with the shades drawn, they are praying for me and you. And I want us to be clear this morning. They're not praying that you and I will send money. They're not praying that Western Christians and good Americans will show up and give good systems and easy answers. Do you know what they're praying all around the globe for you and me? They're praying that you and I will leave our addiction to the easy and will endure with them. They're praying that you and I would endure because endurance empowers the work of God in you. I want you to write that down. I want you to know that they're believers. They're praying behind closed doors, and they're praying quietly so no one can hear, and they're praying for you this morning for you to endure because endurance empowers the work of God in you. John chapter 15, look what Jesus says. He says, if you belong to the world, dude, and I think he said dude. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Endure. Because endurance empowers the work of God in you and in me. Listen, Jesus says, if the world hates you, you're in great company. If you're not fitting in, if things are difficult, you're in fantastic company. Because if the world liked you, if you fit in, if it was easy for you right now, you better check your gut. You better do a quick assessment. Because you may have friendship with the wrong team. Endure. Because it empowers the work of God. Endure because it empowers your worship. Did you know that? We all like to imagine that one day, oh man, one day the worship will be so good. I'll be in heaven. There'll be angels with guitars. There'll be angels with drums, right? There'll be this fantastic worship. Psalm 115 says this. It's not the dead who praise the Lord. I mean, the real worship, it will be sweet in heaven. Beyond a shadow of doubt where there's no more tears, and no more pain, no more hurt, and there's angels and seraphs, you know, flying around the throne of God. It'll be super cool. Anybody say amen? Amen. It'll be cool. But the most powerful worship happens when we endure difficult circumstances, difficult situations in this difficult world. David writes, he says, I will not offer any worship to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing. When you and I endure, it empowers our worship. When you and I endure, it also matures us. James chapter 1, you guys need to write this down and maybe put it up as a bumper sticker somewhere, right? James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work in you, so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Do you know why believers all over the world are praying for you? Because God's not done with you. And if you endure, he will make you into the woman of God that he has destined you to become. The problem is we are so addicted to easy that we run away from the work of God. First Peter writes, he says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Peter's like, I could help you. Every time you run away from the hard and you run to easy, you run away from God and you run into sin. Every time. It's inescapable. If you are constantly running away from the hard and running away from endurance into the easy, you will run into the arms of sin over and over and over again. You will never break the cycle. So believers all over the world are praying for you and me to endure, because it empowers the work of God. Let's go on the second reason why I think they're praying all over the world for you and me. Because endurance encourages the family. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. In other words, I go through hard stuff, I go through difficult things, I run away from the easy, and I run to endure because there are people around who are being influenced by the choices, decisions, and the life that I live. I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is just absolutely not true that you are a nobody. You may have convinced yourself that your job is too small, that you are so insignificant, that nobody sees and nobody cares, but nothing could be further from the truth. The life that you choose to lead impacts the lives of people around you and around the globe right now. The world is praying that you would endure, because when you endure, the entire family gets encouraged. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, and scorning its shame, he has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you too will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, there are people watching your kids, your neighbors, your co-workers. Men and women around the globe are being influenced by the life that you choose to lead or the life that you run away from. I think it's one of the big weights that we carry in the Western church is this ease, this kind of addiction to ease has influenced us so much. We watch over and over and over again Christian leaders fall at an alarming rate. And every one of them fall because of their addiction to the easy. In fact, you probably have had conversations this week. You've probably had conversations with the resident atheist or maybe a family member who's like, ah, another one of them fell. See, Jesus is nothing, right? It's like, ah, you know, the weight we carry is this addiction to the easy. And it's eroding away our influence in the world. Paul says, you know why I endure? Because people are watching. So around the globe today, believers are gathered and they're praying for you to endure because the family needs to be encouraged. Let's go on to the third one. They're praying that you and I would endure because the end is in sight. James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I want to read it again. Some of you, this ought to be an anchor this week. Listen to what James says. He says, blessed is the one who perseveres, who doesn't sell out to the easy, but perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person, watch this, will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. God has given you and me a promise. There's a promise waiting for you. There's a promise waiting for you on the other side of this difficulty. There's a promise waiting for you on the other side of this life. If you and I choose to endure, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he says, now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness. There it is again. God has a crown. He's got a reward and a promise. He says, now there's in store for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Our breath, this breath, it's just far too brief. Amen? Amen? It's going to end way sooner than you or I have planned. And on the other side of this last breath will be a meeting. I will be and you will be ushered into the throne room of God. And for those who endure, who are not addicted to the easy, who are no longer convinced that when things are not easy, that God's not in it, men and women who endure, for them, on the other side of that last breath is a fantastic moment. Where the Lamb of God himself will look down and say, well done, good and faithful servant. All around the world this morning, praying for you and for me and for the American church to no longer associate easy with the presence of God. Men and women who say, I'll devote my life to your mission, and when it's hard, I have to endure, it will be an honor. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know your particulars. Some of you, this message, it may feel like a week too late. Like you made a decision because things got too hard. Maybe you're in a moment in your family. I don't know your particulars. I do know this. If you're still here, God's still moving. And don't run away from him to the easy. Easy's going to come. I don't want to be too heavy today. I mean, guys, easy's going to come sometimes. And when easy comes, celebrate it. Laugh, giggle, right? Enjoy it. When easy comes, have a steak dinner, okay? All right? Enjoy it. It's fun. It's fantastic. Just don't fall in love with it. Because if you're a child of Jesus and you're part of his mission, you're going to get the privilege many times in your life of putting your feet down, digging in a little bit, and you're going to get the opportunity to say, I ain't moving because God's called me here. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I'd like to invite you to pray. If you would bow. Bow with me, and I'm going to just pray over you. After a couple moments of prayer, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, but let me just for a moment pray over you. Jesus, we recognize that likely the greatest enemy, the greatest attack on the Western church, the American church, Discovery Community Church, the greatest, is how the enemy leverages easy to distract us. I know we have been blessed richly, but our eyes move so quickly from the giver of the gift to the gift itself, and we chase not just the gift, but the next gift and the bigger gift and the faster gift. We begin chasing easy over and over and over and over again. And it's eroded our homes. It's eroded families. It's eroded neighborhoods. People chase the easy. It's eroded our schools. I'm praying in this room, Jesus, that you would give some men and some women. I pray that you give them strength, God, of character and heart. I give and pray that you give them strength of, like in their legs, let them dig down right now and stand firm. Father, I pray that in the endurance that you give them joy, a deeper joy they ever could have imagined before. God, together we pray for not just Discovery, but we pray for your church around the globe, our brothers, our sisters in this incredible Mosaic family that are enduring hardships and oppression and abuse. God, we pray that you would give them the gift of enduring. May we be found faithful, Father. Now, some of you, as we've been walking through Scripture this morning, you feel like God's calling you to talk to him about some stuff. I'm going to give you a few moments. You talk to God. Maybe you need some particular strength at home, at work. Right now, you just talk to God and say, God, I need to endure. I'm going to give you a couple moments. You pray. May we be found faithful. Not by our own strength, but in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a time in our service for giving back to God, and the baskets can be brought forward at this time. This is a time for first-time visitors to make sure you drop in your connection card, and it's a time for regular members to give of their tithes and offerings and also to indicate any prayer requests on the connection card. We mentioned the missions commitment card. That's also in your worship folder. And each week in November, you'll be hearing just a little bit more about how Discovery has been involved in missions year after year and the specifics on those projects. And you can take that commitment card home. You can pray about how the Lord is growing in you, what your next step is, where will we go together as a church. Right now, I'd like to introduce a short video from one of our partners, Open Doors, and they serve the persecuted church worldwide. We have been supporting them for 5 years, and the president of Open Doors has a little message for you about the centers of hope that Discovery has helped support.
Hello, Discovery Church. I'm David Curry, CEO of Open Doors USA. We just wanted to say thank you for all you've done to help persecuted Christians. We're partners together in some of the most difficult areas on earth. Right now, if you're reading the headlines, you know that Syria is under tremendous attack. But Discovery Church and Open Doors are partnering with Centers of Hope. These are places that are there to help bring counseling, food, water, medical care to Christians, but not just to Christians, is to be salt and light to the Muslim community. And there's a revival happening in Syria, even as it's just terribly difficult there right now. So lots of aid groups are peeling off. They're leaving the area because of the danger, but you and I are there together through our brothers and sisters at these Centers of Hope. So when you support a Center of Hope, you're doing so much. Your investment is making a huge difference. There's no greater impact right now in this very difficult region than what you are doing. And I know that might be hard for some of you to get your mind around, that this church in Tacoma, Washington, is having an outsized impact in Syria and Iraq. But I'm here to tell you it's true and to say thank you.
You can learn more about Open Doors in the hallway. There's a table along with different treats and activities for kids. There's also a tent there that you can stop in and pray for the persecuted church. Thank you so much. So today we've learned about Open Doors, the Centers of Hope. We heard from John and Prissy serving on an island in the Indian Ocean. And we also partner with MANA Mission, which is in North Korea. And you might see some blurred faces on the slides behind me, and that's for their protection. We ask that you don't take any photos or share this or post online or anything. But North Korea is the worst, hardest country to be a Christian today. And when we asked what we could do to help them, they said, we're starving, we need food. So we've bought truckloads of grain, enough to make just this year in 2019 52,000 loaves of bread, and we want to just thank you for that and many other things you've done to build God's kingdom throughout the world. One more thing we want to do is call Claude up, who has been a missionary for 30 years. He's a Discovery member, and he's been working mostly in the Middle East. Where are you off to this time, Claude?
I am going to Egypt for a week, and then from Egypt to Norway, so two different climates. It's going to be interesting for another week.
And tell us a little bit about who you're going to be teaching there with Discipleship Training Seminar.
I'm going to be teaching mostly in Egypt to young people who came from a Muslim background. One is from Morocco, two from Tunisia, two from Algeria, and two from Egypt. And all of them are former Muslims, as we heard about this morning, so I'm really excited for that.
We're going to take a few minutes together and pray for Claude, and Claude asked earlier that we pray also for his health, and so we're going to pray also for his health and jet lag, miraculous provision for that. So would you join me as we pray for Claude? Jesus, we are so grateful for Claude and his faithfulness over the years to strive to put himself in places that aren't necessarily easy, but to put himself in a place that's he's tender and usable to you. Father, we pray that as he goes to Egypt and then to Norway, that you'd use this trip, Father, captivate and strengthen the hearts of those who are so deeply longing, have such a deep longing to grow near to you. God, I pray that you would help Claude be so sensitive to your spirit. And I pray, as I prayed before, that whether he's on a plane or whether he's on a train or whether he's in a taxi, Father, whether he's sitting at a meal in a restaurant or, Father, he's sitting alone in a room with a handful of disciples, I pray that you would use him as your mouthpiece, your hands and your feet. God, I pray for him physically. I pray that you would hold his body together. God, I pray you give him miraculous protection from jet lag. If he's traveling so far and trying to do so much, I pray you'd protect him from that. And God, I pray you'd bring him back with great stories to tell how God uses regular people over and over and over again. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Claude.